Blog Talk Radio.
File your income taxes by midnight last night, I guess you're a bad person. You should go to prison for life or something. Who knows? Yeah, I read so much in the last few days about everybody, all these people agreeing that we should just completely and totally eliminate the IRS. I think that what we need to do is have a new tax structure that everybody, you know, can pretty much agree on and how we can run our country. I'm not sure if it's Texas. I think Texas, they're only in session for 90 days. They have to get all their work done in 90 days, then they go back to their regular jobs. So we don't have, like, these career politicians that just, you know, sit and collect hundreds of thousands of dollars and become millionaires and sit around and just jack their jaws all day. That's something that would be maybe good for our entire country to adapt a new thing. You know, again, like when the IRS has everything to do with guns, with medical, they have everything to do with everything. We might want to stop and think about it. It's very difficult, at best, to live a godly life when you really, you know, want to. But we're hardly ever in our best situation. We're usually most of the time in what I would consider to be a tough situation, where It's a challenge just to do anything. You know, we're not at our best. We're not in wonderful surroundings. We're not in, you know, you don't get into a boat and everything's perfect. You know, either you got something wrong with the engine or taking on a little too much water, or you went out fishing and fishing's horrible, or, you know, you drive, you're going to go somewhere, and all of a sudden my wife and I were going to north from our house, and we forgot that there was tulip traffic. For all you tulip lovers out there, we live in the tulip capital of the world, so much so that when they grow the tulips out here and everybody wants to go see them here in the Skagit Valley in northwest Washington, all the pictures you see of all the beautiful tulip fields, all those things you see are fun and nice, but they die. They cut them down, they go into homes, and they just mulch them into the ground. They want the bulbs, because then they sell the bulbs to Holland, and you go online and get original Holland bulbs that came from Washington State. Anyway, but the traffic is horrendous. And we got out on the freeway and went, oh, no. And then, you know, we're maybe 3 miles from the next off-ramp that we can get off and take the back roads. But it takes a half an hour to go that 3 miles. People are just whacked. It never goes exactly the way you want. If you want to have a godly life, if you're a person who wants to live a godly life, there's only one way to do it. There aren't, like, multiple ways. There's one way to do it. Live according to the Word of God. Now, so last night we had a spaghetti and a stir-fry vegetable thing. That wasn't in, you know, Genesis chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. It wasn't in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verse 1 through 9. You know, we didn't have to sit down this morning and go, Lord, tell me which socks to wear. Okay? I didn't have to say, should I put these new jeans on, you know, the clean ones, and then wash my old ones. I didn't have to pray about that. I know there's a big thing about jeans. This is a real rabbit trail just for fun today on Thursday, the 16th of April, 2015, is this. The people that make Levi's are saying, don't ever wash your Levi's. Wash them only once every 5 months or something. Well, yeah, okay, right. Whatever you want to do, you purist weirdos. We have a washing machine. I like to wash my clothes, okay? Or I like, my wife washes them because I'm lame. But I imagine you just put the stuff in and turn it on and do it. The thing is, I didn't have to pray about whether I'm going to put on another pair of jeans. If I have three or four or five pairs of jeans, 501 Levi's, I can put a new pair on that are clean and put the other ones in the dirty clothes hamper. Yeah, I actually hit the hamper. Didn't just hit the floor. I mean, my socks actually go in the clothes hamper too, amazingly enough. She's trained me well over the last 45 years. But here's the thing. I don't have to pray about it. I don't have to pray about whether I'm going to have a good meal tonight or not. I know that if my wife's fixing it, it's going to be great, okay? If I'm fixing it, it's going to suffice. The point being is I don't have to pray about that. I pray for it. In other words, I thank God for the provision of having food. I thank God for the provision of clothing. I thank God for the provision of a vehicle that actually starts most of the time. I mean, but I don't have to go, Lord, do you want, I mean, just people that just live in fleece land, always having to fleece everything before the Lord, everything before the Lord. I'm not saying you shouldn't bring things before the Lord. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray about everything, but you don't have to pray about what color socks to wear today. If you lost your keys, you can ask the Lord, you know, where they at, but don't pray to the angel of lost keys, because there is no angel of lost keys, okay? Here's some Proverbs we're going to look at today that encourage godly lives. So if you listen to these Proverbs for today, there's quite a few of them, actually. I'm going to read a bunch of them. Because one of the things I'm doing here for about a month, actually for exactly 1 month, is reading the Proverbs. And so we're hearing the Proverbs. And so we're going, wow, I'm hearing the Proverbs. And when you're done, if you've listened to every program for 31 days, you have then listened to the entire book of Proverbs. And hopefully what you've done is you've read the book of Proverbs, too, at the same time. Whether as I read it, or you read it in the morning, or you're just now onto a schedule, gee, I think I'm just going to do that. Maybe you only listen to this program once in a while. Every morning, get up, grab your Bible, read a proverb for the day. If you know the date, and that's pretty easy to find out, either look at a calendar or ask somebody, then you know what proverb to read. Today happens to be the 16th. I'm pretty simple, but I can go, okay, Proverbs 16. This is going to encourage a godly life, or be some proverbs that help to encourage godly lives. Let's hear what it has to say. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not be unpunished. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. When a man's eyes are pleasing to the Lord, ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. That sidebar on that, it's better to be us than Bill Gates. Anyway. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A divine decision is in the lips of the king. His mouth should not err in judgment. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established on righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. The path of a king is his messengers of death, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of a king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud with the spring rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who watches his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before stumbling or the fall. It's better to be part of a humble, the lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who gives attention to the word shall find good, and blessed is he who trust in the Lord. The wise in heart will be called, the wise in heart will be called discerning. And sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Understanding is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are as a scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. He who winks his eyes does so to devise perverse things. He who compresses his lips brings evil to pass. A gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures the city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Now there's three or four in here that are interesting scriptures. One I mentioned yesterday, and you can just see it here, and it's Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before stumbling. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. You know, it's kind of interesting to, because that's how I learned it. And it just shows you what pride does. It shows you what a puffed up, arrogant attitude does. And it's interesting, the name of this program is A Minute with Pastor Mike, Living According to the Word of God in Today's World. If you come on to Blog Talk, you check it out, that's what you're going to see every time. A Minute with Pastor Mike, been that way for 2 years. Living According to the Word of God in Today's World. I've had other little topics in there, but that's it. We've had a couple little fun shows and stuff, but here's the deal. He who gives attention to the Word shall find good. That's verse 20. Chapter 16, verse 20. He who gives attention to the Word shall find good. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. I want to be blessed. And our idea, many, many times, our idea of being blessed is having goodies and toys and cars and homes and new furniture and new TVs and new gadgets and whatever happens to be your thing. With some people that choose, that's guys or gals. With other people, it's clothes. That's guys or gals. You know, it could be cars, it could be trucks, a great big truck. I saw a guy, oh my, I was sitting in my 10-year-old vehicle with a cracked windshield that still runs, praise God. And I watched this guy, young guy, probably, I don't know, 30-something, 35, youngster, 40, 45, youngster, you know, come bouncing out and getting his S350. And, I mean, it almost like he had to get a ladder dropped out of the door to get up in it. Big diesel F-350. It was a beautiful truck. And if you were going to work and do work out on sites and have to go through muddy, you know, things and get... I can almost guarantee you that truck would get you wherever you needed to go. It was an awesome, wonderful, very cool truck, probably very comfortable. You know, you could tell it had all the bells and whistles. And I looked at it and I said, yeah, I could say, yeah, I'd love to have that. But I would not want the $500 to $1,000 a month payment, and I would not want the repair bill. And at my age, I just wouldn't want to get in and out and in and out and in and out of that truck. My wife would not get in it. She might if we were going to go somewhere, then I could have a little stepladder to get her out. But it would be fun. It would be neat. Yeah, it's not necessary. Under his circumstances, maybe it worked great for him. He was at the feed store there, and it'd be great. But we can all get you know, torn away with that stuff. Blessed, to me, is not having all those things. Blessed to me is having a right relationship with the Lord, and that comes through listening to all these other wonderful proverbs and things we should pay attention to. As I'm listening to younger people talk, and never thought I'd be able to say it, you know, because when I say 40, 45, I mean I've got children that age, so I can say youngster. I know it sounds odd, but trust me, when you get to be my age, you'll be able to look back and go, yeah, you're right. And I'm not saying they're little children. I mean, they're just youngsters to us. that this is interesting. A gray head is a crown of glory. What we've done in our country today and what's happened to us in our country today is to completely and almost entirely wipe gray-headedness out. First of all, we don't want gray to show. We want to cover it up. I know a lot of people are going to go, but it's true. We want to not be old, not embrace getting older with any kind of grace or any kind of goodness in that. The second part of that said, it is found in the way of righteousness. So to return to that, to think about the gray heads, and what does that mean? It means that when I was younger, I remember sitting and listening to people, and the guy should have had gray hair. I mean, he was like 60, 70 then. He lived it into his 90s. But he didn't, man. He was like 70, and he had a full head of black hair, real thick. Mine was already thinning, you know, 30-some-odd years ago. And he spoke wisdom and mercy and life. He was a guy that called me out. He looked at me one day and he said, "So you're a Christian?" And I go, "Yeah." You know, I was pretty proud. You know what it says over here? Pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before the fall. I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Well, tell me about it. How'd that happen?" And I'd never had anybody ask me that. I'd been saved for, you know, a number of years, probably 5 years. Thought I was a hot shot, you know. And it didn't offend me, but it did check me. It called me into question. And then I was able to go, okay. And I'd never been asked to give my testimony, and that's what I was doing. So here I am giving my testimony to this older gentleman, and he was enthralled by it. He was just going, "Wow, that's cool." He goes, "Let me tell you," and we were sitting in our church, and he goes, it was 1940, I think it was 40 or 41, he said, and I was sitting right out in this park lot in my car, and up this church, and it wasn't the same parking lot. It was close, because the building was, and I go, "Oh," and he said, "Yeah," he goes, "I gave my life to Jesus right there sitting in my car," and I thought, "Wow, here's a guy that so many years later," by that time, that was in the 80s, so it was 40-some-odd years later, this guy was giving me his testimony of receiving Christ, realizing his lost condition. And even though he didn't have a lot, he did have a little bit of gray, but you couldn't see it really unless you stared. Kind of like looking at my kids today. I can see some of their gray hair if I stare. And I'm going, he had wisdom. And he'd found the way of righteousness, which was in Christ. If you want to live a life of righteousness, the only way to do it, the only way to live a godly life, the only way is to know God's Word and to get into God's Word and have God's Word get into you to where you begin living it, you begin walking it out, you begin to be one of those ones that is decided to follow Jesus, and you're going to do what you're supposed to do. And then you look at this list of things that, you know, righteous lips is the light of kings, not unrighteous lips, because you can be unrighteous that quick. It's very easy, just be in your flesh. You want to start a fight, just be angry, and you're going to entice your neighbor, your friend. People come in with words and just tear people up. This verse 28 says, "A perverse man spreads strife, a slanderer separates intimate friends." And I see over the years, and I'm going to tell you, over the years it could happen to you. I pray it doesn't. And I'm not saying it's going to happen to everyone, but it could, because there was a time in my life, in my Christian life, probably 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that I thought, this is awesome. This is the answer. This is the way you're supposed to be. And then I thought with some of my friends how I was just going to be serving the Lord the rest of my life with these potential brothers and sisters. I mean, I thought that's the way it was going to go. Unfortunately, you may have some people who are very close. They're friends, they're neighbors, very intimate friends, very close friends. And people say things, twist things, pervert things, slander, and then friendships are separated. And it could be very hurtful. If you are finding your identity in that relationship, it could be devastating. It could ruin you forever if you're finding your identity in that friendship. But if you're finding your identity in Christ, if that's where you're finding your identity is in Christ, he never changes. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. He will not trash you. He's not looking to hurt you. He's looking to give you a hand up, not a hand out. And so he'll never disappoint you. You'll disappoint yourself, your friends, literally, according even to the scripture, the wrong, perverse people saying things. And I've known some people that were perverse. I mean, I thought they were godly. I'm just being honest, very transparent. I thought they were godly, and they're perverse. Their word means nothing. They can devastate you that quick if you let them. But that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to have a godly life. He wants us to be godly people. And we sweet speech increases persuasiveness. You're not going to persuade someone by being mean to them. Oh, they might say, uncle, raise their hands, but the first chance they get to turn their teeth on you, they will. But if you are gentle and you're understanding and you're sweet and your speech is sweet, that's much more persuasive. Because pleasant words, according to the scripture, are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And man may not think that. Man may have a different plan. As the very next verse, chapter 16, verse 25, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I mean, we got it all planned out, but this doesn't go good. The people that have absolutely devastated me and my family, my wife, or even our ministry, think that they've done things correctly, but in all reality, it's going to come back, and they're not going to be happy with that. And the things that you could have done that you didn't do, you're going to be very glad you didn't do them. Maybe not now. Maybe you wanted to be mean or you wanted to react in anger. But if you don't, down the road, it could be a year and it could be 20 years, 40 years, you're going to get, I'd say, I am so thankful I didn't do that, because it would not have been beneficial for anyone. It would have given me a couple of seconds to feel kind of good, but then it would have been it. But as it is, I took the high road. I did what the Lord wanted me to do. And it may not find favor with any single human being, not even you, really, but it does with God. We need to know that. We need to remember that and apply it to our life. We think about being strong. We think about being tough. We think about being tenacious. We think about that. But look what it says here. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. You know, he who rules his spirit is better than he who captures a city. No one may hear about it. You might not be on the news. You know, I thought about it the other day, and I was thinking about money, because it's easy to think about that when you don't have any. And then when you do have it, you probably think about it all the time, trying to make sure you don't lose it. You start thinking about how much, you know, some people make and the cost of living and where it's at, and I look back, my wife has a copy of, I think it was an annual ledger. Was it annual in your grandmother keeping how much money she spent that year, or was it, do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you look and see, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but it was so ridiculous. It was like, you know, a few dollars a month on flour and sugar, and then another was a situation where they were going hunting up in Alaska, and they had their list, and you look at the prices and the amount of money, and it was probably, you know, quite a bit of money for then, but nothing compared to today. And we go, what would happen if people started just living that way now, and not, we have so much stuff out there to get us to go sideways. You think, I could never spend that amount of money. But when you stop and think about it, you think about somebody making $100,000 or $200,000 a year now, and you go, wow, if we could do that, my goodness, what would you do with it? Well, the people that do it, and there are literally millions of them, are still wanting more money. They still want more dough. They don't have enough money yet. It's not enough for them. Give. It's I give more. How do I do this? How do I make more money? Why? It's not money itself. It's the love of money. Remember what the scripture says. The love of money is the root of various kinds of evil. It's not the root of every single evil. It's just the root of various kinds of evil. And it's not money. Money is inanimate. I pick up my mouse. I'm holding it in my hand here. It's an inanimate object that can get me really angry if the battery goes out because I have a battery-operated mouse. It lasts a long time, so you don't think about it much. This pen, it's a red pen. I like using red pens. Because I like being corrected all the time. Maybe it's because my mom is a teacher. Anyway, it will run out of ink, and it will bother me. Okay, it's a thing. It's inanimate. It isn't Satan running it out of ink. It doesn't have a persona of itself. It's inanimate. Money is inanimate. But the love of that money, that goes into all kinds of different areas. And the scripture says, the love of money is the root of various kinds or all kinds of evil. So we need to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. We need to love the Lord with all of us, with every fiber of our being. When we do that, when we actually at least attempt to do that and we move in that direction, we'll do better and better and better. We do not make it to perfection in this body. It's impossible. But we press on towards the mark of the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's how we live our life, pressing on, keep going. You know, you don't win a race by almost finishing. You don't get the prize by just about getting there. You finish. I'm reminded of that Olympic athlete that was just literally, and I don't remember exactly how much, but it was like hours behind. An hour, I mean, a long time behind the last person that had just finished, and they came into the stadium. Everybody was gone. Flowers and stuff laying on the ground. For the most part, everyone was gone, but they came in, and he ran across the finish line, and they asked him, you know, why did you even do that? I mean, what you had to have known, you were completely eclipsed by literally hours by some people. Why did you finish? He said, because my country did not send me here to start a race. They sent me here to finish a race. Now, it would have been nice for him to win. That's ultimately the goal. But he came to finish. Have you come to finish? Are you here to finish? According to God's word, it's how you finish. Are you going to finish in him? I pray you finish in him. We'll be back here on the 20th. Is that amazing? The 20th. It's the 20th on Monday. 20th of April. A week and a half left of that month, and there we go again. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Get in touch with other Christians. Hang out. Read the word. You got the 17, 18, 19 to read. Chapter 17, 18, 19. And on Monday, we'll be in Proverbs chapter 20. You guys have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you then.